this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
KFC Radio episode 158 or 9, I want to say, coming to you from the Ritz-Carlton in Marina Del Rey with his first appearance on KFC Radio since the Franny Lydon fiasco. So he's coming in under much different terms this time. Please welcome the handsome one, Henry Lockwood, to the show.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hank is along for the ride of his life, just in general, with Barstool, but then this week, I think specifically, taking all these meetings with us. Not like me and Dan and Dave are really capable of taking these meetings anyway ourselves, but Hank being along for the ride is particularly fun. So let me tell you, though, if you're in Los Angeles, if you live in California, you should just be an Uber driver. You should drive with Uber because, I mean, it's the only way to get around. You know how much money you could make if you drove with Uber in California? It's insanity.
Just sit in traffic the whole time.
Yeah, you got to sit in traffic, but you're just sitting there watching your bank account pile up. It's unbelievable. So head over to drivewithuber.com. All you need is a car, a license, and a little bit of free time. I mean, you could honestly have a full career out here doing it. So start enjoying the flexibility of working when you want to work and earning extra money on your schedule, whether you're in Cali, New York, Boston, Chicago, wherever you may be. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com, UBER.com. All right, Hank. Your first reaction here to these LA meetings. Me and Dan have talked about it on Mail Time. Dave has been talking about it on the rundowns. You've been kind of a fly on the wall for a lot of it. Your kind of initial reactions to Barstool trying to make it big in LA?
I mean, it's definitely kind of surreal. Just, A, the fact that I'm in there. In general,
like, right?
We were talking,
which was never really the plan,
no,
right?
No, yeah. we got here on Monday. Like, we went to Dave's room to say what up. He was like, "So, what are you doing tomorrow? Just hanging out?" And I was like, "Yeah." I mean, like, he meant like in the hotel room. I was like, "Yeah." I mean, like, I guess if that's like, we'll do the rundown. That's why I came out,
right?
And then so I went into the first meeting like thinking I was just gonna be sitting in the lobby, or whatever. So I wore like a t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah.
And the first meeting, they're like, "Oh yeah, you want to come up? Like, come on in." I was like, Sure. Like, I mean, okay. Like,
right.
I guess we're doing this. But yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. It's super, super interesting. Just like in general. Like,
I hear you.
The way they pitch you guys, the way you guys kind of talk about it. I mean, it's true what you guys say, the professional, but like from a behind the scenes person who like works with Dave and when Dave is in his like El Prez mode all the time, like
yeah.
It's just funny to see him in these meetings, like being a business person. And
so you're saying Dave's being more, you know, reasonable and like a normal
yeah,
person, right?
Yeah.
Which is definitely true. Thank God. Thank God, right? I mean, Dan, imagine Dave running in here like full El Prez mode.
Dips into it every now and then.
Every now and then, but I'm just imagining like, listen up. You're going to, my big brain is going to take you guys to the top. But yeah, he does. It's like he slips in and out of it.
And you don't know when he's. It's a weird – he's kind of like Edward Norton in Primal Fear. I don't know how many people have seen that movie. It's a great movie, but you just never know which one you're going to get. He just goes seamlessly in and out of the El Prez Dave Portnoy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there was one meeting where we all got up to go in, and Hank just like hung out. He was doing some editing on the computer, and Dave was just – we got like 50 feet away, and I looked back, and Hank was just sitting by himself, and Dave was like – You coming, Hank? Okay. Back it up and let's go.
The first one, they were like, oh, yeah, you can come up. But then after that, I was like, I think I'm still just back in lobby mode.
Right.
And then now I've just turned into
lobby.
Like,
your new Twitter handle should be Lobby Hank.
Yeah. Now I just turned into like, it's just assumed I'm coming in. So it's like, oh, like, I haven't said one word. Like, I just sit in the back. And
I'm telling you, man, all jokes aside, you're going to have such a wealth of knowledge from this shit. Like,
Hank is going to be the single most jaded 25-year-old. I mean, yes. I just can't even.
He's going to be battered and jaded and run down, but I'm telling you that.
No, like, I know that sounds
like 40,
bad.
He's going to be like the CEO of a production company because he's seen all this shit.
I actually don't think Hank would be jaded. I think he could be the most jaded 25-year-old. His personality would never let him be jaded because I think you're just not like that. But it's going to be wild when you're 25 and you're or 27 and you're like, oh, yeah, I've been to all these places. I've been to every single game. I've been to Hollywood. I've been to Latvia. You go to the Super Bowl every year. You go to the Stanley Cup every year. You go to the NLCS. You go to the Final Four. Wild world. Hank is always – it actually was funny. Yesterday you said, I don't know if I was there for that. And I turned to you. I was like, Hank, you're there for everything.
Everything.
You are always there. Yep. You're there for – you're now forgetting moments because you've been there for so much.
I'm like a Barstool historian at this point.
Yeah. Dude, you are probably the one who should write the book. You know, like write like the foreword or something like that, like written by Henry Lockwood, because, I mean, you've been – and you're a little bit – removed enough from it that you're not like you're just soaking it all in, you know. I really do think though, especially this move, I think will be big for you because there, you know, we'll bring in some experts and who will probably have like access to like top technology too. So you're probably going to be using like new cameras and audio equipment that people otherwise your age would never have access to or anything along those lines. You know?
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm excited for because it's like. I'll be able to work with them, learn from them. Like I said it from the beginning, like whenever we meet the guys, I'm just going to be like, I just want to like treat me like an intern. Like I just want to learn everything. But then I'll also have like the in between because I know how to work with you guys.
Yes.
And, like,
which is – that's invaluable. So that's how you made yourself indispensable because if you were just a cameraman, you'd be like, we don't need this guy anymore. You know exactly how to get the best out of Dave and Dan and like how to shoot it, how to you know produce it. So you're really more of a producer role at this point. So –
yeah, and then hopefully, like, I actually learn real skills, and then whatever happens, I'll actually have some things I can take away if whatever I ever leave Barcelona. Like, I can
whatever's
be,
next.
Like,
right.
I've been working on real stuff for the past couple
right.
years.
So we got a bunch of voicemails, general voicemails, but a lot geared towards the handsome one because you do really live that sort of fascinating life. So we're going to get into these voicemails in a minute. They're brought to you by DraftKings.com. Mixed martial arts DraftKings is heating up, Big Cat, and I know you are our resident MMA guy. Do you have any, let's say, advice for the MMA world out there in the DraftKings?
I might not have advice. I will say this, though. The fights are going to be awesome. I'm actually genuinely excited for it on Saturday night, and I've never had any luck betting on it, MMA. I think I'm going to play DraftKings this time and give my shot there, so... The Saturday night fights are going to be awesome. Conor McGregor is a must-watch. Got to do the DraftKings.
The only way to be more exciting than watching a Conor McGregor fight is to be winning some cash while doing it. So the way it works for MMA is you draft 5 fighters, and then you get points for significant strikes, takedowns, and knockdowns. You yourself could become a fantasy MMA champion while Conor McGregor hoists the belt. This isn't DraftKings as usual. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry over to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code KFC to play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code KFC for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right, let's get into some of these voicemails. We will begin with one for the handsome one. You know what? People are really interested in your boy Hank. Like he got a bunch of questions here that people just want to know. Let's see. Let's start with this one. It's kind of a general one that you like.
Absolutely not. I mean, the reason I even got the job was because I didn't get my job at home, which was a landscaping job. Like, the company, like, I was planning on doing that, and that fell through. So I was like, oh, shit, I need to find a job. I saw the press conference with you when you were waving the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And my knowledge of Barstool at that point, like, I would have called myself a fan, but I also thought, like, when I was like, oh, like, I thought you worked in the office. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who, like, Feidelberg was.
Wow, that's interesting. I would have thought you were, like, kind of a diehard.
No, I would have. If you had asked me, I'm like, yeah, I read Barstool. Like, I'm a fan.
Right, but you
but
didn't
I,
know.
In reality, like, once I started working there, I was like, who is this kid that's an – like, I thought Feidelberg was the biggest asshole, like, the whole summer. Just – he didn't, like, talk to me. I was like, this guy's a dick. But then I realized that's just how he is.
How, yeah.
But no, I mean, I never like.
That's funny. A little Feidelberg Hank rivalry. Imagine if that blossomed.
I never like
Reddit thread coming up.
I never expected it. I never like understood it even when it happened. People that like when I would get on be on camera, like people that liked it or whatever. I never like thought that it would happen the way it's happened. Like I don't really like my voice and I don't really like being on camera. So I was like, I'll never be an on camera person. And just the way it's happened has been kind of bizarre.
You didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing.
But yeah, to answer the question, no, I never expected that.
I mean, there have been people who have come and gone in these different type of roles, and you stuck. So I mean, it's something, it's a testament to like you do have the right kind of personality, to stick around. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, having like 50,000 followers, you know, that's like the top 1% of people in the world on Twitter. So it's like kind of wild, you know.
Well, and I think the charm of Hank and the reason why he's stuck around. Hank and I have spent, I mean, outside of guys in the Boston office, you and I have spent the most time together. We've been on the road a shitload together. We've done a lot of stuff together. Hank is like genuinely fun to be around.
Yeah.
So it's like he doesn't even have to do anything. It's just like, oh yeah, Hank's around. Like, so having that stickiness actually is the word, where you just want him around.
Right.
That has been the reason that he's been able to, you know, maybe go through the trials and tribulations of being a cameraman who didn't know how to work a camera at first.
Let me ask you this.
He gets to it.
Obviously, you went to the film school for a little bit. Did you acknowledge to yourself how like in over your head you were? Were you like, I don't know how to do this, but I'm just gonna like, you know, like mail time shit, like I'm just gonna snake it till I make it?
The only thing film school did for me was gave me the confidence in my head to think
that
I knew what I was doing. But once
that's
it started,
kind of what college does in general. It's yeah, just like, I know what I'm doing, I can do this shit.
Once it started, like me and Paul, it's like funny to say, and like we literally couldn't upload a 30-minute video to YouTube because there was, like, restrictions. Like,
remember that, yeah.
That's, we, like, couldn't figure it out. It was, like, so, no. I didn't, like, I knew from the beginning that I was in way over my head and I was just, like, all self-taught, which is, like, the reason. Sometimes I think about it and I'm, like, because I just came at the perfect time. Like, the time I happened to email was, like, the time that Dave and whatever behind the scenes were, like, we got to start doing more video. So I just came at the perfect time. But I always think sometimes, like, if I hadn't come along, like, they probably would have got a real camera guy, and they probably would have been, like, better off.
Well,
like, who knows, like, what would have happened if, like, that, they, you know what I mean? And, like, I just don't know. But at the same time, like, Dave, like, he likes to give me shit, but he also, like, hasn't tried to find someone else, so.
Well, here, I mean, this is a follow-up voicemail.
Hey, what's going on? This one's for the handsome one, and I guess for all you guys as well. Where would without Barstool, and where would Barstool be without Hank?
I mean, from failed attempt at a landscaper to now a Barstool cameraman and personality, where would both sides be if you got that landscaping job?
I'm going to take the microphone out of Hank's hand and give my guess, then he'll give the real answer. I'm going to say Barstool would be less funny, like less, you know.
It's just one less character.
Right,
really.
One less character that's been part of some really memorable moments. I mean, I can't imagine if we had like a straight-laced nerd cameraman who I was going to like Tampa Bay with. Like, Hank and I went to Tampa Bay. We filmed the Blackhawks Lightning, and then we went to like a strip club for 7 hours.
Right.
Like, I couldn't imagine if I was with some guy I just hated. Hank would probably be in LA, or no, he'd be in San Diego. He'd be trying to be a surfer, bro. You'd be like attempting that whole Cali life, probably failing a little bit at it. Like, that, it's not really you. You think you're a Cali bro, but you're not.
You can't fabricate a Cali boy life.
He thinks
you
he's a Cali
bro. Or you're not.
Yeah, he'd be eating In-N-Out every day.
Oh, you would have hit 200. The road to 200 would have been achieved.
And you'd maybe be working like, you actually would probably be working in some capacity in like the film or whatever, but you'd basically just be a coffee guy because you're 22, and you wouldn't be the guy who's following around the CEO of a company like you are now taping everything. So am I close?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I hated school. So I was like, I'm going to give myself a year to try and work like as a PA, which is what, like coffee, whatever, just try and work
production
on like
assistant.
Film sets or whatever. Yeah. So I was like, I was going to give myself a year and then go back to school if whatever, like go to Emerson. Cause the reason I went to the 1 year now defunct school is cause I wanted to go to Emerson or like USC, like film school, but I didn't have any, I had no experience. Like, it was something I realized, like my freshman year of college, I was like, oh, this is what I want to do, but I had no experience. So I had to do the 1 year to get the experience. So I would, but the reality is, like, my brother lives in San Diego. I hate school. I love it out here. So I probably would have just been like
fuck it, I'll figure it. Yeah, you're going to have to figure it out somewhere. You might as well figure it out here.
Yeah. And like, I don't mind living paycheck to paycheck. Like, I would have been working like a bartender or something like that. So that's pretty accurate.
What you said before is probably the story for everyone at Barstool, timing. Like, because it's all so – we just stumble our way through everything and like nobody – I'm not going to say people aren't talented, but people don't really know what they're doing. And it's just about like, you know, Dave wanted to expand to New York when I just like happened to be fucking around on my own website. If that happened 6 months earlier or later – probably never even occurs. Neil starts up Chicago. And
like, I started Chicago the day – I started Chicago the week the manhunt happened. If the manhunt happens a week earlier, I'm at my office job.
Right.
Like that day. I don't get any of it.
25,000 followers
right,
over that, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
And you have like this new persona. And
right.
The
Blackhawks win
right
a Stanley
away.
Cup 2 months later. Right. There's a lot of luck in this. I mean, Dave even – you look at Dave. Dave – I don't know if everyone knows this, but Barstool started obviously as a newspaper. The whole reason it became a website was someone moved from Boston to New York and emailed Dave and was like, yo, I want to read Barstool. Can I make a website for you so that I can read it? That's Dave would still fucking be on a newspaper.
We all know Dave would have never
done
that himself.
Yeah, so it's like these little pieces
of
luck.
Mustache. Like, yeah. They don't make the run and you don't grow your beard, but then you have a wedding or something, so you had to like shave a little bit.
Yeah, right, right.
Like the littlest things that fall into place, then all of a sudden you become that becomes your persona, your character.
Right. So there's definitely all kinds of pieces of luck. Everyone needs a little bit of luck. Obviously, they have to be themselves and be talented, but the luck is absolutely there.
I think Hank coming out here and eating In-N-Out and becoming like a fat wannabe surfer bro would be hilarious.
Yeah, I was born out here, and I've always hated the cold, and I've always, like, my friends at home, like, when we were in high school, I'm like, oh, like, I'm moving out to California, like, let's all, like, move out to California.
Yeah.
So the fact, like, that's definitely what I would have tried to be doing.
But dude, anything you like in life, Hank's love for In-N-Out, it's disgusting.
Doesn't compare.
Like, he, when we take trips, and there's an In-N-Out even within 50 miles from where we are, that's all he's thinking about. Like, when are we going to get in and out? When are we going to get in and out? When we were driving the RV to the Super Bowl, he got like 7 hamburgers in and out. He's like, I don't know when we're going to get to another in and out. It's like, Jesus Christ, Hank.
Yesterday when Dave was like hangry and he was like, we're going to get food. I was, when we were on that strip.
We passed one.
Praying we were going to, there was going to be one like within a, like eye shot. Like the whole time, I haven't wanted to, like, because obviously we're with Kearns, who's like, the little swinging dick at the factory and Dave. So I haven't wanted to be like,
that's an unbelievable, the little swinging dick. Well, awesome. Kearns is going to love that one.
Well, no, that's not a diss on him. But
no, I know, yeah, but it's a foot. Yeah.
I meant it in terms of churning and then he's number two.
Yes,
I didn't mean
we
it like
got
his
you.
Little dick,
it's funny.
But I've wanted, like, in my, it's been in my head the whole time, like hoping we get close to one and then Dave says it, but like, it's been on my mind.
You just can't stop thinking about it, huh?
Yeah.
If you're going to live the Cali life, though, you got to be, like, skinny and hot. So you got to use Plated.com to get some fresh meals delivered right to your door where you can do a little bit of cooking. What?
Hank, this is Hank's obvious first KFC radio since it's, like, been official and we actually do ads. All the ads that you've gone into have surprised the hell out of him. He thought we were still talking about In-N-Out when you went into that ad. So go back to it. But Hank's face, I hope the camera caught it. His face is just
like,
pure shock.
Is that,
like,
is this a new topic?
Oh, Kevin's actually taking interest in my diet. Oh, whoops. No, he's selling an ad.
Well, no, I am taking an interest in his diet. I'm taking an interest in all of your diets. I want you guys to, like, look good, feel good, eat healthy, and have some money in your pocket. You're not blowing all your cash on Seamless or delivery. You're not eating In-N-Out 50 times a day. Plated.com is the easiest way to eat fresh, nice meals. And listen, if you like to cook a little bit, you know, you can kind of ease into it. You don't have to be like a master chef to cook up these meals. All the ingredients come prepackaged, so you don't have to measure anything out. You don't have to, like, know what a pinch and a dash is. You just put it all in there. Open the bag, put it in, cook it up, and you have a nice healthy meal for you and, you know, your girlfriend, your wife, your roommate, whatever it may be. So go to plated.com/KFC now. You'll get a free meal for two. And this comes – it gets delivered right to your door. You don't have to go to the store. You don't have to worry about shopping. It comes with, like, ice packs in there, so you don't have to worry about things getting spoiled, going bad. So you can prepare chef-quality dinners right at home in a few simple steps. Hurry over to plated.com/KFC and get a free dinner for two with your first plated box. That's KFC. That's plated.com/KFC for terms and details. Let's do a just a regular voicemail here. We'll get back to the handsome one a little bit. I don't want his head blowing up too much, Portnoy style. Everyone talking about just him. This one right here, prepare to be pretzeled. This is one of the more quizzical questions I think we've had here. Big Cat wants it. Give him the mic.
How much fucking jizz do you have, dude?
you have to be able to blow twice.
I'm out on this question. That's already this is already a science fiction.
Hank, you have sex with two twins. You get both of them pregnant. They both have your babies. What are those kids to each other?
Cousins, right?
They're cousins, but they're also half brothers or half sisters because they have the same father. So they're like sister cousins. That's some fucked up shit, man.
And they have like the same mom, but.
But not. Like, yeah, they. Like they so in a way, because those twins share DNA, they kind of are like. They're like the same human. It's basically like one human and two. Because they're sister cousins with the, like all the same DNA. My DNA, their mom's DNA is all the same. Pretzel. That is some science fiction, man.
I think you just call them brothers.
I think
you honestly got to kill one of the moms.
Kill one of the moms or kill one of the kids?
Kill one of the moms and you just say you guys are twins.
I think you just kill one of the kids and be like, we already had one of you. We don't need two. Just be like, you're just like extra. You know, pick the one that's like a little bit stronger, faster, prettier, whatever it may be. And the other one just gets dropped off at the orphanage. Sister, brother, cousins is – I hope it's happened out there somewhere. Probably has. White trash Alabama. This shit probably goes down all the time. Let's hear from a familiar friend of the show. Your boy, the artist formerly known as Daddy Dixie, Caleb Presley. He's got his own podcast launching on March 15th, the Caleb Presley Show.
The dad father. Credit to me for making that up and then getting it shut. Well, I made
what
it
the
up
fuck? A, you made that up? What the fuck does the dad father mean?
It was a joke. I made it up
just a play
joke.
On the blog,
like,
father?
I used to just like, it was a joke. Like, I would just be like, what's up, dad father? Like, for no reason. And then, like,
got it.
I saw the announcement. He's like, yeah, my new name is the dad father. I was like,
I said to Caleb, I was like, yo, man, I'm here to help. Like, hit me up before you make these kind of decisions. I can give you some advice. Like, I want you to succeed here. I want you to be like a star at Barstool. So maybe, you know, shoot me a text and be like, hey,
what do you
I'm
think
thinking
of
about
father?
Doing the dad father. And I would have said, no. Why don't you just be Caleb? Because Caleb is a name most people don't have. So, yeah, the dad father, rip the dad father.
Life on the Dixie Tour with the dad father.
Best experience of my life. It was so fun. We were so fucked up the whole time. Like, my brain was so, like, dead by the end of it that, like, a month later sometimes I'll see, like, on our YouTube or whatever, I'll see one of the videos and click it, and I literally, like, forget that I was, like, in the video. That's like, oh, like,
saying, you're,
awesome.
You're forgetting moments now. Yeah. That particularly because you were blacked out for six straight months.
It
but
was, the, I, like...
For, but I'm saying, for most people, any one piece of the Dixie Tour would be the single most memorable thing of their life, and you did it for, like, 6 months straight.
It was insane. And it was, like, I didn't talk to, like, after we did the NLCS, like, at first we were kind of worried because, like, Dave, like, I was like, oh, so do you have, like, goals for us? Like, stuff you want us to do? Like,
right.
Plateaus you want us to reach, whatever? And he's like, no.
Just go out there and wing
good.
It.
And I didn't know, I mean, I knew Caleb, but I didn't know, you know, if he was going to be good or not. I didn't know Ben. I didn't know Yev. And I was like, dude, this is, might be a disaster, and it's all going to come back to me. And then we didn't really hear from, like, Dave would just be like, oh, good video or whatever. And then, like, after we did the NLCS, I didn't talk to him for, like, the last 3 months. It was amazing.
You guys, you could never do that again because
no.
You guys just partied.
Physically,
you just partied. Like, the fact that Caleb is now releasing, like, these great videos, and you're like, dude, you had 6 months and you didn't do any of this shit. You did, like, one tailgate video a week. It's like, where was Dad on the street for the first fall?
It's such a shame he's hitting his stride with the videos now because he had so much
material. But it's funny because I actually don't blame Caleb for that. I blame Dave. Dave, after seeing them at Michigan, he and I were sitting down and talking about how it was going. And he's like, yeah, they just like party. Like, all they do is party. I was like, Dave, you sent a bunch of 21-year-olds on a bus with no direction. No shit, they fucking party. Like, you basically gave these guys a vacation in the SEC. I would do the same thing if I were in their shoes. Right. I'd party. I'd try to fuck a shitload of girls. And I'd maybe make a video a week. Right. So I don't blame them. That was the time of their life.
Nobody would do that any different way than you guys did it.
And we had, like, Yev, who was actually, like, he was like, very responsible. And he was a video guy. So, like, I didn't even really have to do video. Like, it was, like, the best 4 months of all time.
Nobody wants to be, like, all gossipy and shit, but I think the number one question people always ask me is, like, how many chicks you guys were all fucking? So was the RV as much of, like, a bang bus as most people perceive it to be?
The RV itself wasn't, because, like, we would at first
it's
like,
hard. I mean,
we'd be like, oh, we gotta get chicks back on the bus, and then we'd get, like, you know, it'd be like two or three of us, and we'd get like three or four girls, and then we'd be sitting, like, in
it's
these
so
small
tiny.
quarters, and, like, for a girl to be like, yo, let's go back, like, 10 feet to my bunk and, like, bang with all these people in here. Like,
you
wouldn't
have to find some fucking dirty hookers for that one.
So the bus itself wasn't, but, I mean, we did all right.
Yeah, I'm sure it didn't hurt you being on the Dixie Tour with that bus.
Not at all.
Latvia. We got a call about Latvia, I believe. Here you go.
Between finding out that airline gets shut down by Russia all the time and just the fact that by account of your videos, Latvia looks like Poland after the Nazis invaded, what did you think were your chances of actually making it out of that country alive?
Two things. One, I was kind of mad at Dave that we went to Latvia, and Dave, again, gave us, like, no direction, and Clem had never been on video, and didn't know what we were doing and had no, like,
agenda. Out of all of the haphazard thrown-together things in Barstool history, that had to be number one.
So I purposely went out of my way to make it look as miserable as I could, but it wasn't that bad.
Now that the video's out and everyone's watched it, we can kind of, like, dispel that rumor. Because it was part of the allure that you guys were, like, in some third world country. But Clem was like, the food's gross, but, like, we're good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. There was no threat. There was all – I mean, this is going to sound super racist, but there was no black people at all. And it was just – like, I didn't feel like there was, like, ghetto or, like –
That is super racist. There was no black people, so I felt safe.
Yeah, it didn't end.
I'm not racist, though, but...
No, actually, you're reverse racist. I think black people are funny just because they're black. Well, I guess that's even more racist. Yeah, you're racist.
I love black people. I have great relationships with black people. But
I have plenty of black
people. Every time I get on a plane, I just assume we're going to die. Like, I get in the air, and I'm like, this plane's going down. There's nothing I can do. Like
you're
I'm
flying in America. You're flying a real airline.
Anytime I get on the plane, like, I look down. I'm
that's
like, we're 3,000 feet up. One thing's going to happen. Like, this is going to be the one plane. Something's going to break. Like, I'm dead. I'm just Even when Big Cat was driving the bus.
Planes go, like, way higher than 3,000. You know that, right? Like
30, whatever.
Yeah.
Every time, like, Big Cat or whatever was driving the bus and you'd be trying to sleep, you just accept death and just keep going with sleep.
That's like the Hank mantra of Barstool. Just accept death and keep going. Where would you rank? I mean, like, you don't want to ever go back to Latvia, right? It's not like a place where it's like that, you know? No.
No.
One and done.
Never again. God.
We got March Madness right on the horizon, which means, time to make some cash, time to throw some cash around on some games. Got to go to betdsi.com. It's one of the oldest, best online sportsbook reviews, and they are hosting a $1 million bracket contest. So, I mean, that's what's up. We're not talking about chump change anymore. We're not talking about just winning a couple bucks for beer money here and there. We're talking about $1 million bracket contest. So, here's a special offer for my podcast listeners. Go to betdsi.com to register an account using the promotion code Barstool10, and you'll receive $10 for free to use on the site on the house. And don't forget to jump into their free $1 million March Madness contest. Once again, register at BetDSI using the promo code Barstool10. That's Barstool and the number 10. And get $10 free. And you get a free chance to win $1 million with the March Madness bracket contest. Big Cat, gambling advice for people to go to BetDSI and put like a dark horse pick or someone to avoid?
My team, Villanova.
Your boys.
My boys, my squad, my fam. I actually think Nova's going to go to the Sweet 16 this year. They're going to get past the second round.
That you think?
It's going to be a huge year for Nova.
They're going to burn couches. They're going to flip cars. Yeah,
they're going to the Sweet 16. They're going to lose the Sweet 16, but they're going. They're going to the second weekend, baby. They're going to be a number one seed. They're actually going to beat an 8 or a 9. So there's your prediction. There's lock it up.
That's a way to win $1 million on BetDSI.com is to pencil in your annual Nova meltdown. A little bit further along this year, but it's going to happen anyway. We just a couple more. Let's see. All right. One more. This will rope in Big Cat as well perfectly.
What's up, guys? It's Matt from Chicago. I'm kind of calling relating to a question from last week. I recently got a job, and now I like put on 40 pounds, and I'm not like a skinny kid anymore.
Yikes, putting on 40 pounds. All right. Feel fat or look fat? Now, I mean, Hank, you tried to put on your weight in probably a pretty ridiculously stupid fashion. I feel like you put on some pounds and probably didn't feel so great. Big Cat, your weight fluctuates. We know that it's sometimes a struggle. I've put on plenty of dad weight. And we talk about this all the time. It's more about how shitty you feel. So what's the pick? Be fat or look fat? Feel fat?
I definitely look fat and not feel fat.
Really? Let's say, like, we always joke about you're fat, but, like, you're not fat. Let's talk about, like, you're big, you're fat, people are looking at you.
Dude,
like,
feeling fat is the worst feeling in the world. You guys saw it yesterday. I don't think, Kevin, I think when I was saying how I wanted to lose weight for the energy, not for the looks, you always kind of looked at me like, oh, okay, yeah, he's probably lying. But yesterday, you saw it. My energy, my fat guy energy, like, I just hit a wall and I was done.
Do you think you're, like, diabetic or something? Like, sugar plummets?
No,
There is just, like, a fucking switch.
Yeah, like, the car, I just took it all out of me. I couldn't do it. That's a fat guy energy thing. Like, if you just – fat guys need to lay down every now and then.
When you're so unhealthy that sitting in a car is, like, your downfall.
Like, I just need to lay down every now and then. So and blog life is conducive to that. I'll just – when I have my fat guy energy, like, you know, when I lose a lot of energy, I'll just go lay on the couch. Now I'm going to have to be in New York and being in the hustle and bustle and going to an office. So got to get skinny. Got to figure it out.
Hank, look fat or feel fat?
I think I'd rather feel fat.
I think so, too.
Because you can just be like, oh, I feel like I look like I feel like shit. But then you're just like, whatever.
I think saying you want to look fat is just a lie, because when you're actually fat and everyone's really making fun of you for it, it's terrible. So I know what Dan's saying, but I think he's lying. Or I think he doesn't realize it.
I also have no experience with feeling fat, and I don't think I ever will. So.
Ooh, what about, dude? Bro. What about yesterday? You couldn't play basketball. You were like ready to kill yourself.
What about when you had a what about when you had a cum belly?
Yeah, that was disgusting.
I literally feel fat. Like I haven't exercised in 3 weeks, and I feel like a piece of shit when I exercise.
So that's feeling fat.
But I'd rather. That's what I'm saying. I'd rather feel fat and be skinny than look
right,
fat.
Right. But I'm saying you said you had no experience feeling fat looking fat. Got it. Yeah. End of the day, feeling fat stinks, but looking fat is probably the worst thing that can happen to you. So, you know, Dan's wrong. We're right. All right. That's it. It's a little abbreviated version of Casey Rito because, once again, we got to go hit up another meeting. But if you got any big events coming up, any concerts, any games, any thing you need to get tickets to, SeatGeek is the place to do it. Go to the SeatGeek app, which is free. You can download it right now on iTunes or Android, and use the promo code KFC to get a $20 rebate on your first SeatGeek purchase. They'll just straight up send you $20 cash back. The SeatGeek app pulls tickets from hundreds of online ticket sellers, so you have a one-stop shop for tickets. They got a great feature called the Deal Score, where you can just open up the app and immediately see, based on color coding, what tickets are a good price, what tickets are overpriced. You know that you're getting a good deal every time you buy. The mobile app makes the ticket buying process seamless and easy. You don't have to type in security code, squiggly letters. You don't have to prove you're not a robot. You just find your ticket, you find your event, you click a couple times, bingo, bango, you got your ticket and you're going to your event. And, of course, the best part is that there's a 100% guarantee for every ticket purchased on the SeatGeek app. So you don't have to end up getting, you know, Michael Kay the other day got some tickets to Hamilton and ended up being phony, like a schlub showing up at the place, couldn't even get in because he got fake tickets. You don't have to worry about that at SeatGeek. So download the free SeatGeek app today and enter the promo code KFC for $20 rebate. That's it for KFC Radio with the handsome one. Hank, any last words?
Thanks for having me.
No doubt.
I'm glad I didn't get outed this time.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.